The Lord has laid something very special on my heart tonight to share with you and to reveal some things to you that have come from. I'm going to come down there where I don't particularly like it up here. I'm going to get anywhere and talk to you. Over the years, as you've heard me say over and over again, Gloria and I have been in the ministry for 42 years now, and we've lived by faith, made a lot of mistakes, and far as I know, repented of all of them. And willing to repent of any of them I haven't recognized yet. Amen. But over a period of time like that, when you live by faith every day of every week of your life, you live in God, with God, for God, by Him, and your entire life is wrapped up in Him, then over a period of time, there patterns begin to emerge. Not only patterns about Him, the way He is, but patterns about yourself and how He deals with you. And you'll begin to realize over a period of time His ways with you. Because He knows you better than anybody knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And His desire for very close and very intimate relationship with you is very, very strong. And so there are some things that over the years that we've learned that there never has been a call for it by the Spirit of God to preach it. And I've talked about this from time to time. It'll come up in a message or something. I'll refer to it maybe. But this is the first time that I remember just like this in this application of it. So let's pray, and if you would agree with me in prayer. Father, we thank You for this. In the name of Jesus, I pray, I believe I receive the anointing to deliver this accurately and plainly by the Holy Ghost. And I pray for the anointing on the people that they hear it equally as accurately and will be able to apply it to their own lives and to be able to receive through it, by it, what they need right now. And to a lot of people, Lord, as You know, the times that we're in right now are new to some people. They've never seen things get in this kind of shape so quickly before. But we have. We've been through it several times in different ways and have gained some experience in You and how to deal with these kind of things and these affairs. And we've learned from our elders who had been through it. In some cases, our parents that had been through this kind of thing and believed God and walked with God and knew things that others didn't know. And we give You praise for this tonight, and we give You the glory for all of it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth to bring deliverance to Your people and to bring blessing to those that don't know You through us. That may bring thanksgiving to God through us. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was born right at the closing years of the Great Depression. I was born in December 1936, and the Depression, the thing that kicked the Depression off in 1929. But there was some other things that occurred, and I'm seeing those things beginning to take shape now. And back then, there were very few people anywhere in the world. There were more in the United States than anywhere else in the world, but there were very few people in the world that really knew much about spiritual things and about what to do at a time like that. There was not the revelation knowledge that there is now. There was nowhere near the number of people that knew how to pray, knew how to actually release faith on purpose. I've never heard of any such thing. I was raised in a Christian home, and my parents were godly people, but I'd never heard anything like that. First time I ever saw Oral Roberts ministering to people, and the first time I ever saw him do that on the large public scale, I had become part of the Oral Roberts evangelistic team. I was part of the flight crew. And then, all I was interested in at the first was flying that airplane. That's all anybody said anything to me about. But when we got there and got the airplane put up, you know, I was through. And so here I was, the oldest freshman in the world. And I was 30 years old, and so they came to me and said, "You're in the transportation department, and it would free up another full-time employee if you would take over the responsibility of driving his car." I said, "Yeah, sure. Amen. I'll be glad to do that." And so the Lord just put me in that place, and it started a relationship with Him that's still very strong today. So I learned and saw things back then. What I started to tell you, I saw Him use His faith on purpose. I'd never heard of that before. I thought faith just kind of came or went, and I don't know what I thought. And I hear the same thing today. They talk about your faith. What is your faith? My faith is the creative force of Almighty God born into my spirit when I was born again. It don't have nothing to do with where I go to church. Mm-hmm. But the world and most Christian people talk about faith in generalities, and they ain't got a clue. They don't have any more idea what it was than I did when I went there. Well, I've been studying it for 42 years. I ought to know something about it by now. But the first time I saw Him, it hit me. I said, He's using His faith on purpose. He uses His faith like a mechanic uses a tool. He releases it at a target. He's targeting His faith. I never heard of such a thing. And then I realized what we'd been doing over the years as I studied it. We'd been using faiths in a scattershot, you know. Just, we were not actually using faith at all. We were using hope. Well, we just a hoping and a praying. Just hope something sticks. Pray to the Father, the Holy Ghost, an angel, anything you can think of. Maybe somebody might hear something, you know. Had no idea what the Scripture had to say about it. But that's not true today. That's not true with you. Amen. I'm telling you, there's millions of people all over the world in the last 50 years particularly that have learned how to pray, know how to believe God, know how to take Scripture and get on it by faith and pray it right through to victory. Praise God. There were very, 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 very few people. There's always been a few. But there were very few. There were very few tithers when that first depression hit in 1929, 1930. Now, there were other things that went along with it, such as weather disasters. My My dad and mother were both raised in West Texas. And at the time that the Depression came, 29, 30, 31, 1932, long in there, they lived in a little area called Brownfield, Texas, which was just right out in the sand dunes and really a hard part of the state because it's very dry. Now, you had some rain during the season, and it would... That ground out there, if you get some water on it, boy, it'd just grow anything. But this was before they knew that that underground river, the aquifer, flowing underneath there, was before anybody even knew it was there. And so it was hard living out there anyway. And then, of course, the Depression hit. Well, then it did not rain from 1931 to 1941 out there in that desert climate. And then the great dust bowl came. I mean, it blew all the topsoil off that whole part of the United States. And it went from rough to bad. There were people drowned in sand. Lungs fill up with dirt and just die. It's unimaginable today what they were living through. Well, they didn't make the spiritual connections, but all that's connected together. Weather and what you call Mother Nature makes me mad every time I hear that term. I guarantee you nature ain't my mother, never was and never will be, not my father, not my cousin, or nobody else. You understand? I don't talk about no Mother Nature around me. She's not my boss, I'm her boss. I tell her what to do every day. Why? Because my boss, Jesus, taught me how to do that in His Word. Mother Nature, get out of town. Oh, God. And you see... you see manifestations of these things at the same time. The earth, under the influence of sin, under the influence of the curse, which can be increased and brought to higher intensity by bad government. Now, bad government is not measured in who gets the most votes. Bad government is measured in what you do with the laws of God. That's the way you measure government. What do you do? What do you do about the things that God has commanded in government? So, you intensify the curse that came on this planet through sin and death. You intensify that with disobedience to God. And so, all of these things, that you very rarely ever get them one at a time. They intensify, and it begins to affect the earth. The earth gets under strain. The Bible says the whole creation is groaning under the weight of it, crying for a manifestation of the sons of God. Well, what is a manifestation of the sons of God? The blessing of Abraham. Amen. The blessing. Amen. See, the creation is crying out for the blessing. The Blessed One created it, and He released the blessing to bless it with. And then, of course, we know what happened to that and the trouble that it's brought since. Now, now you got the Great Depression and a famine of high degree in operation out there in West Texas at the same time. All the plains area. My mother and dad got married in 1927, and they put tithing in their wedding vows. Now, they didn't know a great deal about faith, but they had made commitment to God. And they vowed to the Lord when they got married that they would tithe all the days of their life. And I was thinking about, just before I said that, I was thinking about Isaac and what he, the way he dealt with God. It said he called on the name of the Lord and he called on the blessing. And he said, I will bless you with the first of everything you give me. And there's a great importance here. Well, my mother and dad did that. And they got married, like I said, in 27. And then in 29, the stock market fell. And then 30 and 31. And then it quit raining in 32. By 1932, 1933, brother, I'm telling you, it was some tough sledding out there in West Texas. Well, my dad, all the way through the Depression, was never without a job 24 hours. And there are other people, I mean, living out there in the Dust Bowl. People were leaving that country, packing up and leaving, and mother and daddy were doing pretty good. Real good compared to what everybody else was doing. Mother said his job would end or he'd get laid off. That they hadn't learned that term yet in 1931. That nobody got laid off. You didn't get fired in West Texas. You got fired. Or you got let go. I'm sorry, got to let you go. There were people that took the engines out of their cars and harnessed horses or mules to the car. And the cars back then, the windshield, you could crank the windshield forward like that to let air come in there. Or there was an air vent that you could reach under there and push and it'd raise up. And it's an air scoop. It would scoop air inside the car. You had to do something. The seats were made out of wool. But it was a ride, you know. So, and run the reins either through that air scoop or up under those windshields and let the horses pull the car. Nobody had money enough to buy gas. Now, you need to be grateful to God that it hadn't got that far. Amen. 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 No, and because we're here, it's not going to get that far either. But. So anyway, my dad never had to do that. Always had a good car. Always had money in the tank. Praise the Lord. It's amazing and absolutely miraculous the way God would maneuver him and get him in the right place at the right time. And mother said they'd hold hands and pray and he'd leave. And they lived out there in the country, you know. And she said she'd stand there and pray until she couldn't see him anymore. And then just thank God all day for a job. Thank God for taking care of us. Oh, glory. And then she'd work all day there at home and just praise God and thank God all day long. He'd come back that night, he'd be employed. Not one time in all the years of the Depression did it go over 24 hours. Now, isn't that something? And now I'm bringing this up to you because there is a principle here that people have not learned yet. Gloria and I have learned it. I learned it more studying the Word than I did in actually having to do this or pressed into doing this, because as I learned, we were doing this all the time. It wasn't something that we just had to use it as a as a tool of combat or something right at the moment. But there's more people that don't know this than people that do. So I'm going to share it with you. In the Gospel of Luke, in the 8th chapter, verse 41. Behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Now, in Mark 5, he said, this says he besought him. Mark tells us what he said to him. He said, come lay your hands on her, and she shall live. He made his faith statement, and he released his faith. And he never opened his mouth again all the way through this whole thing. He held to what he said. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched or stopped. Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and press you, and you say, who touched me? And he said, somebody touched me. I perceive that virtue or power or the anointing is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Well, now, when he said daughter, that's bound to have ministered to Jairus. Now, Jairus is leader of the synagogue. He knew this woman. He knew most of the people out there. This woman had been dealing with this situation, we know, for 12 years. And he knew her. Yet Jesus called her daughter. Now, this is leader of the synagogue. This is a man that knew something about faith before he ever met Jesus. Amen? I mean, he released enough faith that Jesus headed home with him. Right in the middle of a crowd, Jesus headed to this man's house. So he's no stranger to the Word. This man knows some things that Spirit of God taught him. And he said, you come lay your hands on her and she'll live. And we also know that he threw himself at Jesus' feet just as he came out of that boat. Well, that in itself was a powerful public gesture, because just being connected with this man could cost you your position as leader of the synagogue. And the leader of the synagogue was one of the most lucrative, one of the most important positions in any Jewish neighborhood. And he could have forfeited the whole thing that day just by falling down at Jesus' feet. But he did it anyway. Now, he called her daughter. Well, he knew this woman wasn't Jesus' biological daughter. I mean, he knew better than that. She's about Jesus' same age in the first place. In the second place, he knew more about Jesus than that. So he must have known immediately he was talking to her as a daughter of Abraham. He understood that. He knew that he was the seed of Abraham. He knew his daughter was the daughter of Abraham. So, there's a lot going on here. Now, notice this. Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith made you whole. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter is dead. Your daughter is dead. Don't have no use troubling the rabbi any further. Your daughter's dead. When Jesus heard it, he answered, oh. Did you get that? When bad news came, I'm telling you something. This is vital information in times of trouble. When you cast your care over on Jesus, when you make your faith statement, when you put things in His hands, and you take your stand where you saved from that point on, that is not my problem, that's Jesus' problem. I have rolled His care over on Him. I am not going to be afraid of evil tidings. I don't care what the devil says. I know what I believe. Now, Jairus never opened his mouth. He never got the chance. Jesus answered. Let him do the talking. Do you see what I'm saying to you? I mean, somebody just come up and told a man his daughter is dead. Now, this ain't no little thing. You know, that first emotion that hits you, I've never had anybody tell me my daughter's dead, but I've gotten awful close to that. Come up and tell me that Gloria's youngest brother is dead, or that my little niece is dead, and I saw her just a couple hours ago. She and her husband, head of our international ministry, she's my little missionary. Praise God, man. I mean, she's like a daughter to me. And I was with her a few minutes ago before I got home. She'd been killed by a drunk driver. And then somebody called me and tell me that. First thing it made me want to do was just hit whoever's closest. You can't do that. You do. You forfeit your divine protection. And your spiritual weapons of your warfare are not carnal. You can't fight them with your fists. They're powerful through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Jairus didn't say anything. Jesus answered. Boy, that I don't preach myself happy. Praise God. Now notice this. Jesus heard it, and he answered him saying, fear not. He actually said, stop the fear. Stop it right now. He got right in Jairus' face. In dealing with death, you have to deal with fear. The spirit of fear and the spirit of death are the same personality. Hold your place there. Put your marker there. I want to read a scripture and inject it in here in Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, so that through death, I'm talking about the cross, so that through death he might destroy. That word translated destroy means to completely incapacitate, to paralyze, to render totally helpless and useless. Now that's what he did to Satan. To completely destroy, paralyze, him that had, H-A-D, not him that has, him that had the power of death, that is the devil. and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear connects you to the spirit of fear, who is the spirit of bondage. Can you see it? Satan can't do anything to you without the fear connection any more than God will do something for you without the faith connection. Amen. He can't get to you. Without faith, God can't get to you. Without fear, the devil can't get to you. Now, if we had time, we'd search all this up. But you take time. You do it. You need to put your eyes on these things. 1 John 4:18 says, perfected or developed, growing love casteth out fear. It does not deal with it. It casts it out. Amen. Because fear hath torment. Well, Satan is the tormentor. Without the tormentor can't torment. And it's not fear and torment. The torment is in the fear. And perfected love casts it out. Now, you can bind it by faith. But all you're doing there is managing it. You need to take the love of God and cast it out and then bind it. And don't let it come back. But you have to live in the commandment of love in order to do that. Well, faith worketh by love, right? Now you see the connection. All right, now, go back over there to Luke 8. Fear not. Now, Jesus would have been unjust and unfaithful before God if he had told this man to do something he couldn't do. Now, he couldn't do it by himself, but he was there to help him. Amen. All this man had to do was act on what Jesus said, the same as he did when he beseeched him by faith to begin with. All he had to do was agree. Jesus would take care of the rest of it. When Jesus said, fear not, all Jairus had to do is say, yes, sir. All right, I refuse to fear. I don't care if his legs and his knees are knocking together. If he's so mad he can't hardly breathe. That doesn't mean anything. All that's in the natural. All that's in the flesh. But I'm telling you, the Son of the living God said, fear not. Now, if he said, fear not, he don't mean for you to come up with, well, you know, Lord, I try not to fear, but I just can't help it. Well, shut up and go and lay down. You're half dead now. You just told the Son of God something that you thought he didn't know. That's second only to telling God you're unqualified when he calls you to do something. God calls you to do something. Don't start off by telling him you're not qualified to do it. I'm sure that's a great surprise to him to find out that you're not qualified. I imagine if his next thought was, oh, I wish I'd have noticed that before I messed up and called that fool. I wouldn't have had nothing to do with him. If I'd have known he wasn't qualified, maybe I can find me somebody else. He ain't interested in your qualifications. All the qualifications you've got don't amount to a hill of beans to him. He's qualified. And he's qualified to qualify you. Oh, yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. All you're trying to do is con your way out of it. Why? Fear. It isn't because you don't want to do it. It's because you're afraid to do it. You're afraid you'll fail at it and fail God. You're failing him now by telling him no. Don't tell him no. He's God. Dumb, dumb.
I'm talking to myself, you understand?
That's the way I had to talk to myself about it. I finally got myself by the ear. I said, Gloria, we can't go up there at that Oral Roberts University. Dear God. Wife and two little kids will starve out. She said, Kenneth, we're starving now. We might as well go starve in the will of God as starving out of the will of God. Well, that's the first thing I'd heard made any sense. So I said, well, okay, here we go. Praise God. I said, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen to what he said. Fear not, or stop the fear. Believe only. And she shall be made whole. That is the divine principle of faith. Fear not. Believe only. Believe what? Believe what he said. What did he say? He said, fear not, and she shall be made whole. Believe what he said. You don't have to raise her up. You don't have to heal her. But you do have to obey. Amen. Stop the fear. Believe only. She shall be made whole. Fear not. Believe only. And you shall be made whole. I don't try to add to it or take away from it. Just say, well, praise God. He said, don't fear. It ends tonight. I refuse to fear. I'm not afraid of what the news media says. I'm not afraid of what Wall Street says. Dear God, Wall Street ain't my source.
Amen.
And listen, any of you that are still whining and bawling and squalling around because you lost your retirement in the stock market, shame on you. You knew that stock market wasn't fit to put your money in when you put it in there. You'd have been better off if you just made paper airplanes out of it and throwed it all off the roof. It's a shot in the dark at its best. Amen. So quit whining around about it and I lost everything I got. Oh, shut up. You're losing it again. God's trying to give it back to you. Double. And you keep whining, bawling, squalling around about it. So just hush about it, feeling sorry for yourself. You can't live in grace feeling sorry for yourself at the same time. Amen. Can't do it. They don't go hand in hand. You're either going to feel sorry for yourself and get depressed and get all down and all that, or you're going to allow God to make all grace abound towards you, so you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Now you have to realize now, he was dealing with fear and death. When you're dealing with the curse, you're dealing with fear and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is energized by faith. Faith is the connector. The law of sin and death is energized by the fear of death. If you study Hebrew writings, you will learn that there's 903 different ways to die, and 902 of them are bad. And there is one called God's kiss. And that's when you just leave here. Amen. You actually didn't even experience death. You just the kiss of the Spirit. And out of here you go, brother. You don't get evicted out of your body. You just leave it where it was. Amen. But 902 of them come under the curse. Now, fear not, believe only. Say it. Fear not, believe only. Now say this, Lord, I obey.
Lord, I obey.
In the name of Jesus,
it
is against my will to fear. I take a stand against it.
I know you love me.
I know you love me. See?
Well,
I don't know whether God loves me or not. Do you own a Bible? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever... Are you a whosoever?
Yes.
You sound more like a whatsoever. Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish. God loves you more than Himself. Now you need to develop that. You need to say that at least 500 times. God loves Kenneth. God loves me. When you've said it 500 times, you've just gotten started. Then you need to say it at least 15, 20 times a day. Go to bed with it on your lips and wake up in the morning. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind and my strength. And He loves me. He loves me and He cares for me. Hallelujah. He gave Himself for me. God loves me. God loves me as much as He does Jesus. Well, you'll have to read the 17th chapter of John over and over and over and over because your flesh wasn't raised to know that. Your flesh has been told by the devil and everybody that works for him that God don't care nothing about you at the very best, much less love you. Oh, He might if you wasn't such a jerk. Well, no. He knew you was a jerk all the time. He loves you anyway. Yeah, me too, bud. I know exactly how you feel. Because I suffered under this. Because I ran from God and I got into really, really deep spiritual trouble and all that kind of thing. And then when I finally came to myself and came to God, I was so embarrassed. I was so shameful about it. I felt so guilty about it. I had a hard time repenting of it. I'd repent of it over and over and over and over and over and over, but I felt just as bad as I did when I started, not trying to go by the way I felt instead of by the Word. But the Word says when you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Didn't say anything in there about how you feel about it. Said He's faithful and just or righteous to do it. Amen. He'd have to be unfaithful and unrighteous to turn you down when you confess that sin before it. He'd have to be unfaithful to God in order to be unfaithful to you. And say, no, we don't care nothing about you. You done sinned away your opportunity. No, that's some unbelieving preacher told you that. It wasn't Jesus. He said, anyone that comes unto me, I will for no reason cast him out. Oh, thank God. I'm so grateful for it. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll wipe it out of your life. Well, when he does, that's what flushes the fear out of there. Amen. And you begin to realize He's made you the righteousness of God. Man. You can come into the presence of the most holy being that ever existed. Pure holiness. Pure. And come into His magnificent presence at His invitation. And come boldly to the throne of grace And as if you had never sinned, he'll receive you because of the blood of Jesus. Whoa! Hallelujah. That's shouting ground, brother. Oh, my God. My God, hallelujah. Now, when you deal with this, fear not. Well, now you come. We won't take time to do it now. But you come over there to the 112th Psalm, which is the profile of a prosperous believer. Blessed is the man. Blessed. This is a blessed man. A man under the blessing of Abraham. Well, the blessing of Abraham is yours. Amen. Jesus was made a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. You're blessed. See? Well, blessed is this man. And then you read all that 112th Psalm. And right midway in that Psalm, it says, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, and he is not afraid of evil tidings.
Wow.
Bad news don't affect him. Why? He's blessed and he knows it. He has released his faith in that blessing. He believes it. He trusts God. His heart is established, the Scripture says. Well, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10 says, cast the whole of your care over on him. Then it says, resist the devil. And then it says, and the God of all grace will exalt you, strengthen you, perfect you, and establish you. Now, I don't care what the news media said. They come up and say, you're going to lose your job. You just sit there and smile and say, uh-uh. No. I was praying over a job when I got this one. Yeah, I remember how I got this one. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you know, they might decide that they can't pay me anymore. That don't mean I have to leave. Oh, now, Brother Copeland, now what are you talking about? I'm talking about being a servant. I don't look to the company for my money anyway. That's just seed. But you have to develop that kind of attitude. You have to develop that kind of establishment in your thinking. There's only one source, and that's God. And his avenue is the blessing. Now, there's a lot of different channels, a lot of different things that he'll do, but he's the source. And the blessing is the force. He's the source. The blessing is the force. Amen. So, fear not. Oh, they're going to lose another 100,000 jobs. Well, so. Well, aren't you scared you're going to lose your job?
No.
Why? I work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, I'm not in the ministry. That's your fault. You mean to tell me that you're off over there working on a job that Jesus didn't have anything to do with you getting it? You better get out of there fast as you can get out of there.
Amen.
And find out where your job really is. Because he is your master. He is your Lord. He is your Savior. He is the blessing of Abraham. He is the right hand of Almighty God. It is in his name, his blood, and his word that you even exist. Now, you need to settle some things here and find out what he's called you to do. Find out where your church is and go get in it if it's on the other side of the world. And find out what your mission is and get busy. I was driving in the car. Brother Roberts is sitting over there. And we're headed to the meeting. He's got his book and his face and he's right along here. And just suddenly, it was always so quiet in that car because you didn't talk to him. He's talking to God. He ain't got time to talk to me.
That's right.
And that's another thing he taught me. when it comes time to preach, hush. Don't talk so much. And listen to him. So we're just driving along there, and it's very quiet in that car. Suddenly he said, "Kenneth!" Man, I jumped. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "People will always tell you you can't do it. But," he said, "if you'll follow these three steps, you'll always be a success in life." I said, "Boy, I didn't have anything to write it down. And Jesus help me." He said, "Number one, find out the will of God." Well, that's when you ask questions. That's when you seek God. That's when you take the time. "Well, Brother Copeland, I ain't got time to do that. I got to go hunt a job." There's something wrong with that. That's like the guy that's too sick to go to the healing meeting. So, no, you don't have time to do anything else. You go find out. I mean, you stay before God. You lock yourself up somewhere. You do whatever it takes. You pray in the Holy Ghost. You get in the Word. You get in your tapes. You get in your CDs. I don't care what it takes. You find out in your heart what God's called you to go do and where you belong. Step two. Confer no longer with flesh and blood. Once you know in your heart, and you know what God's called you to do and who you are in Christ, and this may not take long, it may take a while. But it's like somebody said, "How are you going to know, Brother Copeland?" Well, that's the way it was when you ask your mama, "Mama, how am I going to know the man that I'm supposed to marry?" And she got that funny grin on her head and said, "You'll know." And you thought, that's all the answer I ever get. But what happened when it happened? You knew. God does not have His wisdom hidden from you. He has it hidden for you. Yeah. The reason you have to seek Him for it is to keep the devil from getting it. It's yours. He'll show it to you. He'll reveal it to you. And it'll get surreal in your heart. It'll get bigger than your very name. And you'll know. You'll know who you are. And when you know that, don't ask people anymore. Don't confer any longer with flesh and blood, because they'll tell you you can't do it. And they'll give you all the reasons why it won't work. Number three, get your job done at all cost, even if it costs you your life. Because that is your life.
Amen.
You don't have any life outside of that calling. That's what you were born to do. And when you find out what it is, now you have purpose, drive, and faith, and confidence with God.
Amen.
Don't make any difference where you go. Amen. "Well, He might send me to Africa." Well, He will if Africa needs you. If He needs you in Africa, ha, 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 Africa's the place you need to be, brother. Oh, yeah. He told me one time, he said, "Kill him, I'm going to tell you right now." He said, "If I only called you to carry out one can of trash in your life, I can make the trip from the back door to the alley the most wonderful adventure you've ever had in your life." And I've learned that that's true. I tell you. He knows you. He knows. I mean, it may look strange and weird to you, and you don't want to go do it. Give Him 1 month, and you'll never work for anybody else again. Oh, life gets good quick, because He is life. And now, you're on the road, not a road. Zero. There's a lot of junk that's been happening to you. A lot of stuff the devil's been able to pull in your life. Because you're on somebody else's road. I heard Keith talking about this. He and Phyllis got off the road going somewhere. I don't know where it was. And they wound up in a neighborhood they didn't have no business in. And they thought they were on the right road, but somehow I got the directions, you know, fouled up and got over there. And when I heard him talking about that, I thought, you know, people go through all kinds of trouble all the time because you're not on the road that God calls you to be on. Your protection's over there on that other highway, and here you are driving around through Sickville and Doubt Alley. You know? Amen. Recession County. Debt. I know nothing worked for me. Well, of course not. You're on the wrong road. Well, I'm trying to go to San Antonio. Hey, hoss, you're driving north on Interstate 35. You'll have to go completely around the entire earth to get to San Antonio the way you're going. Now, it ain't God's fault. He's put up signs all up and down the highway. Oklahoma City, 180 miles, and here you headed to San Antonio. No, you're not. You're going to Oklahoma City. He keeps putting the signs up. I don't understand why I don't know the word for me. Oklahoma City, downtown exit. Although God called me to San Antonio and I wound up in Oklahoma City. I don't understand. Oh, shut up, dumb. Turn it around and go the other way. Quit bawling around about it. Get back on the road. And just go to Jesus and say, well, I screwed her up again. Now, will you help me get turned around here and get this thing on the right road? He'll say, yeah, come on, I'll show you again. Amen. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, he is laughing at you anyway. Amen. You go on, turn this thing around, and get headed up the right way. And you get going on that right road. You won't spend so much time in hospitals and lawsuits and all that kind of thing. And when they do come, the blessing wall is up between you and the problem. Now, you're going to have to keep the wall up there. We're going to spend some time in that this week. Show you how to do that. But now, for right now, let's go back in here to this. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Now, you find out where you belong. If you don't know, then that's job one. Don't make any more decisions about anything until you get that done. Settle it. Oh, but Brother Copeland, what if he sends me? What if he... Hush. What if? Yeah, but who knows? All badges of unbelief. Fear. That is fear-based, fear-fed, and fear-dependent unbelief. Amen. So, stop it in your life. Well, I'm reporting for duty. Amen. I'm a child of the living God. I'm full time for God today. Amen. And wherever He sends me, I'm going there for Him, not for myself. If He sends me back to this same job, then praise God, that's a good thing, but I'm working for Him now. I'm not working for them. I'll serve them, but I'm working for God. He's my boss. I don't lose my job. He may send me and assign me somewhere else, but I don't lose my job. I work for Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is my master. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. God Almighty is my Father, and this is Father and Sons. I work for the family business. Thank you very much. And where He needs me, that's where I'll go. And I have learned long since that that's where the pay is the best. Because He'll pay you a whole lot more than you're worth. Praise God. Them other people will pay you less than you're worth. He'll pay you more than you're worth. Praise God.
Amen. Because, he's not interested in paying you anyway. He'll give it to you. He sure ain't going to loan you anything because he's not going to put you in debt either.
Praise God. Now then, let's go now to the book of Deuteronomy. Fear not, believe only, and you shall be made whole. Now, right now, we're dealing with financial sickness, debt, pressure. When you don't have any debt, when you're debt-free, and you got that way by acting on the Word of God, because the Word said it, you believe it, and you stand on it, and for that reason, and you allow God to work things for you and remove debt in your life. Debt is just as much financial disease as cancer is to the body a disease. Because, the Scripture says, the borrower is servant of the lender. You can't go into debt on any level without entering into a covenant. You have to enter into a covenant with somebody in order to get their money to meet your need. You stop and think about it. You have to enter into a covenant with a bank. You have to enter into a covenant to get a credit card. You have to enter into a covenant to do anything like that. And you're coveting yourself to people you don't even know. Well, just because you don't know them doesn't make it any less real. You've bowed your knee to that person in order to get them to get you something you didn't have money enough to buy. That's debt in its simplest form. That's got all kinds of ramifications to it. And it's for a person that believes, my God shall meet my needs according to my riches and glory, then you don't need a letter of credit. Huh? But now you're going to have to retrain because, particularly in the United States, for the last 100 years, there's been a strong move towards becoming a debtor society, which actually turned us into what the ancient civilizations called serfs. You don't own anything. You're a serf. Somebody else owns your car, your house, your furniture. You're a serf. You're not working for yourself. You're not doing anything for yourself. You're working for somebody else, and they made you like it. You're driving around in a car that's not yours, that they can come get anytime they want to, and you got a big smile on your face. They can hit my red Corvette. and brought you in when you were probably 14 years old and said, now let me tell you something, baby. You got to have a good credit rating to get by on this earth. Now, we got to do something to get you start building some credit here. And some of you are ticked off at me right now. Well, I'd like to know, bless God, what's wrong with that. If you'll sit there and shut up, ugly, I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's the Babylonian system at its worst. To train a child up to be in debt or he can't have anything. Now, what does the Scripture say? Train a child up in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't turn from it. Are you familiar with that Scripture? I challenge you to read what that Scripture was referring to. It's referring to raising a child not to be in debt. Read it for yourself. I don't do all your studying for you. But we got off into this debt thing by people training us to think that way in order to be able to control this society. And God did not intend for the United States of America or Israel to be controlled by anybody or be prospered by anybody but Him.
Amen.
And debt was and is the weapon and you can look around and see now what's happening to it. Everybody all nervous and upset, and Glory and I just sit there and say, well, Glory, you know what would happen to she and I if all of our partners quit? And nobody gave anything into this ministry, not one dime. All of it quit. All of it stopped. Nothing.
Amen.
We have no debt on property. We have no debt on houses, clothes, cars, airplanes, land. We have no debts. We don't have any. We do not have any utility bills. Our water, we have our own water wells. We have our own power plant on that ministry. We had a storm come through there the other day, and there were hundreds and hundreds of homes without power. And our ministry, our prayer line didn't go down. Our computers didn't go down because our power plant was going all the time when the rest of them were gone down. That's the reason our power plant is named the Land of Goshen. There's light in the Land of Goshen. Hallelujah. Why? I got up one morning, the Lord said, I want you to build a power plant. I didn't even know you could do that. Then He told us what to do about drilling a gas well. We drilled 3 gas wells. And we built a power plant that's got gas-driven generators. We pump gas out of the ground into the generator, make the electricity, and turn on the lights.
Wow.
Amen. Now, see, I didn't know how to do all that. If God had told me in 1967, I want you to develop a ministry where it will eventually become self-sustained, where outside government or anybody else can't affect it, well, what would I have done? I'd have gone to stock market. But that's all I knew. I didn't know any different, man. I was like everybody else. I was raised in this mess. I had to learn different. The first step was to depend on Him instead of debt. That was the first step. Amen. Lend unto many and borrow from none. Hallelujah. I didn't know how to do that. And when I saw it in the Scripture, my face fell. Gloria's face fell. I looked at her. She looked at me. I said, what are we going to do? She said, whatever the book says, that's what we're going to do. Thank you. And turned around and walked off. I said, well, okay. Jesus said it and she said it. I guess that settles it. We had to learn how. I had to learn how to live in the kingdom of God instead of the Babylonian Empire. Pray, make a plan, pray to God, and try to get Him to bless it. When all the time, go to Him and get the plan. It's blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, let's get right into this now. And I'll begin to close with this. I want to show you from Deuteronomy chapter 26. It shall be when you're come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance and possesses it and dwell therein, thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth which thou shalt bring of your land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and put it in a basket, and go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place His name there, and go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give. The priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God.
Amen.
And then he says, and speak and say. And you can read that. We cried unto the Lord our God our fathers. He heard our voice, looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. Well, you go to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. We cried out to the Lord our God, and He delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. That's the New Testament version. The Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Oh, the Lord brought us forth out of the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. Colossians, the first chapter. And Lord, I brought my first fruit, or I brought my tithe, or I brought my offering. I brought something to you. And you'll rejoice. Now, verse 12. When you've made an end of tithing all of the tithes of your increase. Tithing is not done by just writing a check, putting it in the mail, or putting it in an offering container. That's the tithe. Tithing is done by the confession of the mouth in praise and honor. All right, now stay with me now. You take it to the priest that shall be of those days. Now I want you to notice something here. Verse 13, you'll say before the Lord, I brought away the hallowed things out of my house. And I've given them to the Levite, to the stranger, to the fatherless, to the widow, according to the commandments which thou hast commanded me. Verse 15, look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people with a land that flows with milk and honey. Now then, let's go with that in our mind. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. You remember that Melchizedek came to Abram and received his tithe and blessed him? He transferred the blessing. Melchizedek was the son of Noah. God blessed Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Melchizedek was Shem. Ham and Japheth went the route of Babylon. Shem went the route of the blessing. Shem transferred then that blessing. By this time he was an old man. He had founded the school of the prophets. Melchizedek means Lord Mayor of Jerusalem. And he came with bread and wine. He was the high priest of God. And he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And that's when Abram found out that through God he was possessor of heaven and earth. Then you follow that through the fourth chapter of Romans. That he believed God, by faith he became heir of the world. Now, you're his seed if Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So, in thinking this through now, chapter 7, book of Hebrews, this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being made by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is the king of peace. Jesus is made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 6, verse 20. The forerunner for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What was Melchizedek's order? To meet Abraham, bless him, and receive his tithe. All right, come right on down. You're right there in the seventh chapter. Look then at the eighth verse. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. He has the same orders on him that God had with Melchizedek. Go receive their tithe and transfer blessing to them. Tithing is the blessing connection. Now, here's what I want you to know. Anytime, I don't care what it is, you get your pink slip, bad news from the doctor, bad news from home, evil tiding, whatever it is. You stop right where you are. You get something out of your house, out of your bank account. You get your hands on something and you tithe it quick. You go through that process right there. I mean, you put it in a basket and you go in there and you take the communion elements, you and your wife, your children, you get that family together and you bring them in there and you say, now, we're hallowing this place today. This household today is in a place of honor with Almighty God. We're in a place of need. He is in a place of honor. And Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. And He's our Melchizedek, praise God. And you put it in a basket and you open that 26th chapter of Deuteronomy up and you open up the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews and you set the communion elements there in front of you. And if there's any sin in your life, bless God, confess it and get it out now. Amen. Put it in that basket. And take it before the priest of these days. And say, Jesus, the Word says, you'll take my offering, my tithe, this hallowed thing from my house, my seed, and you'll set it before the feet of my Father, and you'll worship Him with it. Look down from your holy habitation and bless this household. Earthquakes can't stop you. Depressions can't stop you. You become the answer to recessions and depressions and earthquakes and whatever else happens. You're in a position like we were in when the Lord spoke to a friend of mine who had a Super 3, Super DC-3, spoke to him a few days before and said, get that 3 up and get it going now. They work 24 hours a day. He had no idea why. God just woke him up in the night and said, get that airplane going. He'd put it off. He had an inspection due on it. He'd put it off. Well, man, he worked round the clock. He and his crew, they got that airplane going. God spoke to me. God spoke to others around the country. Praise God. I mean, we went to work and ain't nothing happened. But it did. Katrina happened. We were already in motion. Gloria and I were overseas. Praying over that thing. Watching it. And we began to speak to it. And I realized that we were speaking to something that we weren't getting any action out of it. Jesse told me later. He said, I prayed over a lot of these things. He said, I saw right quick, we getting nowhere fast. That this thing's different. There's something else here. He said, I had to shift gears and go a different direction. And the Lord had to help me and show me what to do. We were in the same position. But we were ready. And God started doing miracles. You can get that little book, Angel Flight 44. And God just started doing miracles here and there and putting this thing together and just raising up things and situations. We provided shots for the Marine Corps. Can you imagine that? Those guys waiting around down in that toxic cesspool cocktail they're waiting in up to here. Dead bodies floating around in the streets. You didn't see on television what actually was going on down there. And here these guys waiting around in that and nobody had given them their immunizations. And I don't know, just kind of slipped through the cracks. Well, my buddy's flying that 3. He's an old Marine Corps pilot. And he walked up the lieutenant. He said, "Somebody told me you guys hadn't had your shots." He said, "Yes, sir, that's right." Boy, I tell you, it really irritated him. He called Commandant of the Marine Corps and told him, Commandant of the Marine Corps used to be his backseater. And he called and told him what was going on. See, God will put you in the right place at the right time with the right folks. Amen. And there was some talk back and forth. And finally, Glenn told me, he said, "Oh, forget it. We'll take care of it." And we had a medical connection. We flew in there just across the fence from the medical people and loaded that DC-3 up with medicine and flew her out of there, man, and flew it back into the war zone. And went in there and not only got... There were 1,000 people that would have died within 24 hours if we hadn't gotten in there with the insulin and the shots, some of them little babies, some of them the elderly and so forth. 1,000 people are alive today because of just hearing God and just doing what He said. And everything we needed, He provided. Why? That's the blessing in operation. But we started it by tithing. Tithe something and do it now. Amen. You're gonna be out looking for a job? No. Pray first. The job will be looking for you. Y'all will run into one another out there somewhere. There's a man, the Lord led my dad up to the cotton gin one morning. And Dad walked up there and the guy came up there and asked him what he wanted. And Dad said, I just believe you have had a need for me or something like that. And Dad would get up and go really early. There wasn't even be nobody there when he'd get wherever the Lord called him to be. He said, "Are you a bookkeeper?" He said, "Sure, if you need a bookkeeper, I'm a bookkeeper." So he said, "Come on in." Well, my dad never had kept books before, but he just took time to read this man's ledger. And my dad was a good mathematician, and he read the man's ledger and saw his process of keeping books. And he went in there and just flowed with the process. And he worked there for quite some time. In fact, he went from there and went to Drones Business College and took a course in bookkeeping, and they hired him to teach. The blessing of the Lord is on him. He's a tither. Amen? Well, sure, he had favor. It wasn't his education that got the job. But he got that job teaching in Drones Business College the day I was born. And then 6 weeks later, there was a job opened up in Abilene, Texas, that paid 3 or 4 times what that one did in Lubbock, Texas, where he got to work the day I was born. And it's a sales job. He said, "Well, yeah, if you put me on a commission, I'll take it." They said, "Well, yeah, well, do you really have a commission?" He said, "Yeah, you pay me a commission, and then I control what I make." He worked for them for 16 years. And then, of course, I was raised in Abilene, Texas. Amen. But then God promoted him up, and he went to work for a life insurance company, and he was with them for 18 years. And then they called him in and said, "You know, well, we know you're interested in Kenneth's ministry." It just getting started back then. And they said, "Doc, why don't you go ahead and we're just going to give you the last 2 years, and you can go ahead and take your retirement. We'll give you the last 2 years. You move more than earned it." So that's a blessing of the Lord on him. His picture's on the wall of fame in that life insurance company. Well, what did he know about life insurance? Nothing. But the blessing taught him. What did he know about bookkeeping? Nothing. He knew the same about bookkeeping that Joseph knew about running a prison.
Amen.
Nothing. But the blessing taught him. And his way turned out to be better than their way. Amen. So they hired him to teach bookkeeping. How's he going to teach bookkeeping? He don't know I'm done bookkeeping. But the blessing taught him. Now you need to start depending on that. How do you do that? Tithe something and tithe it now. And believe for it. He's my wisdom. Oh. 16th chapter of John. Turn there. Turn to the 16th chapter of John's Gospel. Oh, Lord. Proverbs 10 says, "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." Now look at this 16th chapter of John. You need to be reading this. You need to be confessing this. Put your eyes on it right now. Write it down. Put it on the index cards. Pin it up on the refrigerator door. That's where you spend most of your time. Where you have to read this every time you go in there to get something out of that refrigerator. Put it up on the bathroom mirror. I mean, hang it around the mirror of the car. You ought to have this in front of you all the time. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. Jesus is your Lord. He is responsible before God for your well-being, for your prosperity, for your healing, for your deliverance, for the cleansing of your sin when you confess Him, and when you walk in the light as He is in the light. It's His blood that cleanses you from all sin. He is responsible before God for that. It's not a problem that He's not speaking. The problem is you're not listening. Now tithe something. Amen. And shut up. Yeah. For however long it takes, you will be shocked. He was trying to talk to you all the time. I fell in the floor. We'd moved to Tulsa. I couldn't figure out what to do, dear Lord. Go to school, get a job. I didn't know what to do. And I was torn. I didn't know any of this. I said, "Glory, I'm going in that bedroom and I ain't coming out till I hear from God. I don't know what to do." I went in there and just fell on my face, just praying, you know, just loud and fast as I could. And oh, Lord. And the thought crossed my mind. I thought, if I just be real quiet here for a minute, I just wonder if the Lord will speak to me. So I thought, well, you know, I can't hurt nothing. And so I just hustled people. That quick, right in here. He said, "It's about time." I hadn't been able to get a word in edgewise. Later, I heard Rufus Moseley, old prophet of God. He said he was in Chicago, laying on his face in a hotel room, crying out to God. I thought, that sure sounds familiar. And he said, "All of a sudden I realized, here lies a fool that knows nothing doing all the talking to somebody that knows everything." Now, in case you didn't get that, here lies a fool who knows nothing. That's the reason he was lying there crying out, because he didn't know. Here lies a fool that knows nothing, doing all the talking to somebody that knows everything. So shut up and listen and believe this verse. Because he's speaking all the time. He's responsible for you. And ain't nothing wrong with the Holy Ghost hearing. He doesn't have a hearing problem. And whatsoever he hears, he'll speak. He doesn't have any speaking problem. But he has a problem with you listening. This is the key. Obey God. Do what he says.
Yeah, I said, "But Lord, I'm liable to make a mistake."
He said, "Knowing you, Kenneth, you probably will." But the biggest mistake you could make is to do nothing because you're afraid. Get up and do something if you do it wrong. Bless God. I mean, God will fix it for you as long as you're listening to Him. Amen. Obeying Him. Boldly. Fear not. And I'm lying there on that floor And he said, it's about time. He said, Kenneth, I didn't send you here to get another job. I sent you here to go to school. I have a plan for you. Stand up on your feet. Man, I jumped to attention. I'm shaking from one end to the other. This is the first time anything like this had ever happened to me. And I'm standing there. I mean, I'm hearing him just as well as I'm hearing my own voice come out my mouth. I'm not talking about with these paddles on my head. Dear God. Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm talking about hearing in here, listening in here. Train yourself to go inward. Go in the Spirit and hear God. He's talking to you all the time. But you're going to have to get your mind quiet. After a while, after you learn how, it's not all that hard to do because you know how to do it. The way you get your mind quiet is with the words of your mouth. Because your mind has to stop and see what your mouth has to say. You can't think one thing and say another. Your mind will stop and listen to your words. Because words have authority over thoughts. So if you begin to say, my mind is quiet, and I purposely listen for you, Jesus. And if you're still, your mind's racing around on you, just go to these words. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide me into all truth. He'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. I listen for you, Holy Spirit. I know Jesus is speaking. I know you're hearing him, and I know you're trying to get through to me. Now, I'll just be quiet here. I'll just listen to you here. Because you said that you'd show me things to come. That means you'll show me where my job is. That means you'll show me where the church is I'm supposed to be in. That means you'll show me every person, every time I'm supposed to minister to somebody. I just make myself subject to you. I work for you. I get up every morning and I do what you say. The people that did that on the morning of 9/11 are still alive.
That's right.
Some of them, every one of them, God spoke to every one of them. He's never an absentee God.
Amen.
Never. No, he spoke to every one of them. Those that heard and obeyed got out. Those that heard and didn't obey died.
Amen.
Now you and I need to be obeying and listening.
Amen.
On purpose. You young people, listen to me. This is the way you make good grades.
That's right.
Yeah. God will teach you how to study. The blessing of the Lord will come on you. You'll learn things about a subject you can't figure out where you got it. You'll get, I tell you, I started doing this. You got to be kidding. Here I am. I'm just a country hick from West Texas that learned how to fly airplanes and, you know, and anything else I could get my hands on. I didn't know anything. And here I went to Oral Roberts University, freshman. If it hadn't been for the favor of God, they wouldn't have let me in there. My grades wasn't any good the last year I was in high school because I was running from God. I was mad at God and everybody else, and I was mad at that school. So I was in a mess before I got out of high school. But they knew the calling of God was on me, and then the favor of the Lord began to work in my behalf. Well, I'm going on these meetings. I'm gone for a week at a time. Now I come back, and I'm telling you, Oral Roberts University is a tough schedule, brother, and they ain't put up with you either. But they had provided the tools. You could go to the study hall. You could get into the system, and back in those days, most of it was audio, some of it was video. But you could bring up on tape, you could bring up all the lectures you missed however many times you wanted to listen to them. Well, I was so far behind when I got there. I'm 30 years old and I'm in class with a bunch of 19-year-olds. And they put me in an algebra class and that teacher said, good morning, that's the last thing I understood. I had no idea what the man was talking about. I had to go to the library and get a high school algebra book and start studying. I flunked it when I was in high school, man. If it hadn't been for the blessing of the Lord, I'd still be there, I guess. But I learned, and my brain would seize up on me. Man, I couldn't study over about an hour at a time. I can admit, y'all had to got my driver's license to tell you who I was, man. I mean, my but I found out I could pray in the Holy Ghost, and it had turned loose. And I got to where I could study 30, 40 minutes before it would freeze up. And then I could pray for about 30 minutes in the Spirit, and it would let up. And then then it got to where I could go for an hour. And then it got to where I could study for 2 hours, and then 3 hours, and praying in the Holy Ghost. And then I'd go and got to where it, my mind and functioning in my brain and my, and all was under the command of my Spirit. I didn't know how to do that. Nobody taught me how to do that except the Holy Ghost. I asked Him. I had to have it. God sent me there. Well, I had to do my part. I had to study. And God began to teach me that stuff. It was just most amazing. But the big thing was He started teaching me the Word and how to walk and live by faith. And by the end of the semester, I had professors coming into the study hall to get me to pray for them. Can you imagine that? I got some PhD coming in there. Said, Brother Copeland, would you lay hands on me and just dump this mess on my desk? Well, just go, God, I got to have some help here. Let it go. I'm thinking, he come in here wanting me to pray for him. There's something strange about this. But what was happening? I was living by faith. They were living by education. Good people. Don't misunderstand. Born again, Holy Ghost people. But they weren't using what they had. I had to. I had to use it. I didn't have any choice. I was so far behind, dear God. I had to use it. But that's one of the reasons the Lord sent me there. And I look back on it. And I see it was the blessing of Abraham in operation. And it's while I was there I found out about the blessing of Abraham. Gloria and I was so broke, dear Lord. My dad, I was so embarrassed. When we went up there to a partner meeting, my dad had to buy her a decent dress where we could go up there. Lord have mercy, I wanted to crawl under the bed. And if I hadn't known that I'm going to be in trouble with God. If I don't go, I wouldn't have gone. But it was time for that to stop, too. We were there, and God moved. And I knew where I was supposed to be, why I was supposed to be there. And that's when the word of the Lord came to me. I mean, I heard His plains. I'm talking to you. He said, these people don't make a minister out of you. All they can do is train you. He said, I have called you a minister of the gospel. That's what you're born to be. And that's who you are and what you are. I make a minister out of you. And don't you ever forget it. Whew, change my whole future. Thank God. And I'm still living off of it tonight. You understand? This is the way you conduct yourself. Now, why? He will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Now listen. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, He will take of mine and show it unto you. I dare you to believe it. They don't have a problem on Wall Street. You can't find the answer to it. If they'll let you pray in tongues long enough, you can get the answer to anything. I was sitting in my prayer chair one morning just having myself a big old time reading the scripture. And God got me up about 4 o'clock in the morning. He put me on that scripture and I studied that. And then a few days later, I was just enjoying that and reading that. Praise God. And the word of the Lord came to me. He said, do you remember that on television the other night when that person said, this government has gotten us into so much debt that can't nobody pay it? I said, yeah, I remember that. He said, do you remember what you said? And he let me remember what I said. I heard it. I had said, boy, you got that right. He said, don't you ever let that come out your mouth again. He said, trillions don't mean anything to me. No, you can't pay it, but I can. And if you'll believe me, if my people will believe me, I will give the money to my people and they'll pay it off. And whoever pays the debt owns the nation. I never had a thought like that in my life. That's exceedingly abundantly beyond what I could ask or think. But once he ministered it to me, it wasn't. It seemed perfectly rational to me to believe God for $31 trillion or whatever the, you know, it was. Well, why not? I didn't have money enough to buy a car. You understand? Much less $1 billion or $1 trillion. So what is the difference?
Amen.
There isn't any. I didn't have money when the Lord showed me that in Tulsa, I didn't have the money to get out of town. My first day in full-time ministry, I went from the bedroom to the living room. I was broke. I didn't have any money. I was willing. I got up, got dressed, put on my highly altered suit, and went into the living room and got my pad and my pen, my Bible, and went studying, listening to God for my directions. And it wasn't but a few days that He had us up, had us going, praise God. And that was 42 years ago, and we ain't slowed up since. But He is the one that has told us to go and to do and this and that and the other. I made the mistake a couple of times of asking ministers if they would concur to my coming there and having a meeting. And the answer was 100% no. Why? Well, it's just not time for you to come. In other words, you stay out of my town. And I went, I had one of the best meetings I ever had one time in Las Vegas, Nevada. In a casino. Good friend of mine. Used to be in the rock and roll business. Pastors of church in South Florida. Wayne Cochran. Old C.C. Ryder. Got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we're close to one another. And he got the owner of that casino saved and filled with Spirit. And he said, Wayne, I want to do something for God. Man, and I ain't nothing but an old gambler. Now, what can I do for God? He said, do you think there's any chance Brother Copeland would come here and have a meeting in my hotel? He said, I'm adding he would. He said, would you call him and see? He said, I'll provide everything. Well, he called. I asked God. God said, by all means, go. We went, had a meeting, brother. We had more fun in that meeting. I was standing just right behind the curtains waiting for the clock to say time to go. And there was a blackjack dealer stuck his head through the curtains. And it had his little black bow tie fastened on one side of his collar, you know. He said, Brother Copeland, listen, I'd give anything in the world if I could get in that meeting tonight. But he said, I'm on the floor tonight. And he said, I want you to know. He said, there's several of us dealers out here tonight. He said, we all praying in the spirit for you, brother. He said, we're praying for you. We're holding you up, man. And he said, and he grabbed me and said, oh, Jesus, help Brother Cole, get the souls in tonight. He said, I got to go, brother. World champion poker player. Called me aside and said, do you think I ought to quit this game? I said, has the Lord told you to quit? He said, no. I said, well, then you're a fool if you do. He said, well, now let me tell you. He said, I don't play for money. I play in those tournaments now. But he said, there's so many of us professional poker players now that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he said, you may wait for hours till this table and get a winner and a loser and this, and it changes around, and then you have to move over to the table. And he said, they have a big table where we wait. And he said, we've got our tape recorders and our Bibles and our books over there. And he said, we're all listening to your tapes and Brother Hagin's tapes. And he said, we just have big time. He said, we've turned this tournament into a Bible study, brother. I said, and you come and ask me if you're supposed to quit that job, quit what you're doing? I said, if I ever hear you quitting, you're going to have to deal with me unless God told you to quit. No, he said, the only indication I got is just keep winning souls. Amen. Well, had a great meeting. A lot of people got saved. Just a good time. Wonderful time. And then I got notice a few weeks later that the first Zama Zama church there in town sued us because we had a meeting in that town without asking them first. Sued me. Nowhere but Las Vegas, brother. How dumb can you get? And that's what I told him. I ain't even got time to answer a lawsuit like that. Just have it to yourself. That's crazy. It's what happens to the carnal mind, playing church and religion. And like Jesse said, genetically altered Bible turns it into a... Well, did you get anything tonight? Oh, man. Tithe something. Tithe it quick. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, when I first got hold of this, our little old tithe was so pitiful looking, but it wasn't pitiful to us, man. I mean, we set ourselves before God to tithe and believe God and walk in. I tell you what, I tithe before I eat. And it's because I tithe. I don't have any trouble having something to eat. Because there were times we left town, we didn't have money enough to eat. It was either food or gasoline. And the gas came first because we had to get there where we were going to have a meeting. And didn't have any money. Put it all in the gas tank. And the kids were little, sitting there in the back seat. When are we going to eat? Well, what are you going to say? Well, you know, kids, we just can't eat today. We're serving God. We're going hungry for Jesus. Oh, shut up. I know how God is impressed. Now, I said, any minute now. Because we gave Him tithe and give Him. Praise God, He's responsible for us. And I got one scripture here that I'm going to show you. Turn to the book of Malachi, and I'll close up with this. Then we'll receive tonight's offering, and you can act on it and break the power of this recession spirit over your household and over what is yours. Because He'll manifest Himself as sickness and disease. It's the same demon. It's the same devil. He'll energize a curse any way He can get it. And we drove into the outskirts of Oklahoma City there where we were going, where we were had our next meeting. And I saw money blow across the highway. And I said, glory of money! And I swung over into the left lane, and I got in the left and turned, made a U-turn back to the divided highway. Then turned back up, went down a block, turned back up, and now I'm driving real slow. And I'm watching, and there it was. I pulled over. There was a $20 bill had blown up against a cyclone fence over there right next to the highway. And it just hung there on that fence. I went over and peeled my 20 off. And just as we drove in the fast food alley, and there was this is back in the late 60s, and there was the big Sizzler bull standing right up there on the, you know, a huge big old Hereford bull said Sizzler, and the kid said, "Sizzler, Daddy!" I said, "Here we go." Took God's $2 and put it over here in this pocket. My tithe. Glory and I prayed over it and blessed it. And had lunch. And it's been that way for 42 years. That's the way it's supposed to be. Let me ask you something. Did you earn your salvation?
No.
How'd you get it? Huh? Grace. By faith. Did you earn the baptism of the Holy Ghost? If you did, you didn't get it. Amen. How'd you get it? By grace. By faith. Did you earn your healing? No, no. How'd you get that? By grace. By faith. Well, whatever made you think he's going to have to earn you money?
Hallelujah.
No. No, you're a tither. He's able to make all grace abound towards you so that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And say nothing about toiling to get it. The toil was the first curse that came on man having to sweat for his food. And that was the first curse that was broken. Ha, 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 Mr. Devil. But you need to abound in this grace also. That though he was rich, he became poor. So that through his poverty, you might become rich. Why? Because he needs you rich, not broke. He needs you right now. There are people out there suffering that don't know what you know. He needs you to be able to give seed to the sower. He needs you to teach them how to sow it. He needs you to help people. He don't need you bound down in debt where you got to have somebody helping you all the time. He needs you out of that. He needs you healed. He needs you full of the Holy Ghost. He needs you rich. He needs you powerful. He needs you able to pray. He needs a tither. I found it 3 times and I get excited and close the book on it. Malachi chapter 3. Now we're before the high priest of these days. Bring the tithes into the storehouse. There may be meat in my house. And prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Woo! Glory to God! Yeah! Tithe something quick. Don't sit there and argue with the TV. Get mad at the president.
That's right.
He don't know any better. He'd do better.
That's right.
Not his fault he's president.
Amen.
It's the church's fault he's president. It's the church's fault. You've got people in office that can't be faithful to their family, can't be faithful to their contract, can't be faithful to their word. People voted them in there and the church sat there and griped at the TV. It's going to be laid at our feet. No, the Lord's not going to bring it up in front of the men that were in office. He's going to bring it up with the church. and say, come here, I need to talk to you about this. How come you, with the power of the name of Jesus, have let those demons get in Washington, D.C. and start controlling this government and run it for 100 years after you got baptized in the Holy Ghost? Where were you?
Sitting there in front of the TV, griping and complaining,
instead of being at the throne of grace. Changing things. Wow. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Men can't do it by themselves. I don't care who they are, what party they're from. I don't care what their background is. Don't make any difference what college they went to. They can't do it by themselves. And they, listen. Are you listening to me? They pressed for a wall of separation between church and state, and they got it. And the church is where the blessing is.
Amen.
And now they're trying to function without it. And they ain't got a clue what to do next.
Amen.
Nothing adds up anymore. So what's going to happen? We got to put the wall back. Get the wall of blessing. The wall of blessing. And put the blessing back through prayer and faith and the love of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he'll not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you see what to do? Tithe something. I don't care. It's not the size of the tithe. It's the faith in the tithe.
Amen.
That makes a difference.
Amen.
Go through your house. Find something. Find something that's precious to you and give it. Tithe it.
Amen.
Something that's got your heart in it. And tithe it. And get quiet before the Lord. Get the communion elements in there. And just see Melchizedek coming towards you with the bread and the wine. Calling you blessed. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. It's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. And the devourer is rebuked for my sake. And you get quiet before him and say, Lord, I receive my blessing. I have no fear of anything. The blessing will teach me and train me how to do any and everything. Joseph, just a little boy, got sold into Potiphar's house. And somehow God taught him how to run a ranch. He taught him how to run a farm. He taught him how to run cattle. He taught him how to run this general's business while he's off in the field somewhere in the military. The man come home and so rich got to the place where he didn't even know how much he owned other than the bread he was eating at his table. How did that boy know how to do all that? The blessing taught. Brother Coleman, I thought the Holy Ghost talking. Well, who do you think I'm talking about?
Amen.
He'll take the things of his and show it unto you or anybody else that'll trust him for it. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you what to do on the job. Amen. There is a scripture that says, he causes me through the love of his law, his commandments, to be wiser than my teachers and no more than even my elders. For the ancients teach me. 69 years old, I went into training on that Citation 10. The most intense type rating in aviation today that's not military. And my first instructor was a Navy fighter pilot. And he said, I'm going to tell all of you something right now. This is the most intense training that I've ever been through in my life, and I went through everything the Navy had. He said, I just wanted to know that right now. One kid said about 3 days later, he said, dear Lord, Mr. Copeland, this is like drinking from a fire hose, brother. I don't know what. I think we ever going to get through this? I said, oh, yeah.
69 years old, and I'm in a school like that and with a room full of kids. What am I doing there? I'm supposed to be old and slow. That'll be the day.
Yeah, yeah.
I just took that scripture I just quoted to you. Dwayne and I both did. And we stood on it. Amen?
Amen.
Not only did those instructors teach us that citation 10, the Spirit of God taught us things about that airplane.
Amen.
We're still learning things about that airplane. Here I am, 72 years old, and I don't know I'm that old.
Praise God.
I'm in better health than I've ever been in my life. I'm like Brother Roberts. He said, you know, Kenneth, it seems like it ought to be time for me to go to heaven. But he said, I keep getting revelation, so I have to keep preaching. He's gone back on the road. He's teaching it. He's preaching in the churches again on Sunday.
Praise God.
Was he 90? What, 90? Is he 92? Is it what he? You can't tell how old he is. You have to figure it up. Because when you're talking to him, I'll tell you what, he is sharp, man. Just sits down in his easy chair and writes a book. A couple of them a year. He said, I keep getting these revelations, so I guess I just have to stay. I said, yeah, that's a good idea. I think you better. Amen. Why? God don't need to be teaching you how to be old. You can learn that off of the devil. Well, I've said enough tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. And in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight, in this offering, Lord, I rebuke the devourer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now! You will not cause us to come short. You will not cause us to fail. You will not cause us to be diminished. You will not cause us to come down. We're going up. We're going forward and becoming greater and greater and greater and stronger and stronger and stronger. And the worse it gets, the more powerful we become. Hallelujah. We are the church of Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. In the name of Jesus, stand up and let's give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Tithe something. Don't just give it. Tithe it. Use that scripture, Lord, my high priest, my Melchizedek, I set my offering before you tonight. Lift it up and worship our Heavenly Father with it. Hallelujah. Oh, and then look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless my household, bless my affairs, bless my church, bless my business as a land that flows with milk and honey. Hallelujah. And then become expectant, brother. Yes. Yes. Harvest is a-coming. Glory to God. Harvest time is here. Woo! Glory be to God. What recession? I just got a divorce. Irreconcilable differences. I'm divorced from recession. I'm divorced from the curse. Gloria and I and our whole household, bless God, we're divorced from that thing. We'll have no part of it. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, amen. I don't belong there. I don't belong in that. I'm not bound to that. I'm not walking by fear. Praise God. I'm not bound to bondage. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Yeah. from the law of sin and death. I'm free from death. I'm free from recession, bless the Lord. You ought to just walk your bedroom floor and just walk it and walk it. Say, God loves me and I'm free from that depression. God loves me. I'm part of the answer. I'm blessed. I'm rich. I am God's own child. Praise God. He loves me and I'll have nothing to do with that curse. I am the answer to that curse. In Christ Jesus' name, I'm a giver. I am a tither. Hallelujah. And do it till it gets hold of you. Then you get to where you start shouting and running and shouting, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Now, bless God, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Brother Robert said when that storm up there in Amarillo blew that big tent over, those big 1,000-pound tent poles started falling and started falling in the crowd, man. Over 7,000 people under that tent that night. All the lights went out and those big old poles, the wind sucked the top of that tent up. And those big old, the poles weighed 1,000 pounds apiece, half a ton. And those things picked up like that. And he said you could see them in the lightning flashes. They were just being laid down. Didn't touch a person. Not one. He said he walked out there the next day after that storm was over. And that tent was torn to shreds. They'd invested all they had in that thing. Left them just broke. And he said he was so down in his spirit, it just tore his heart out, and he's walking around out there. And he got a message from one of his partners. And if I remember this correctly, he sent him a telegram and said, Oral, you can't go under for going over. And oh, it got him. Bless God, I'm not going under. The devil's trying to tell him this ministry's over with. You going under. Dear God, ain't nobody wants to hear nothing about this healing thing anyway. Because he's getting a lot of flack and a lot of trouble for it. And he began to think, praise God, I'm not going under, I'm going over. I'm going over. Praise God. And he said, then the only thing I could think of is sow a seed. Sow a seed. Sow a seed. For a new tent. And God provided a bigger and a better, a windproof thing that just, man, finest in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. That's who you are. You're not a victim. You're the victor. Victory in Christ Jesus. Father, receive our giving tonight. We give it out of our hearts. The outreaches of this ministry, and we tithe it. We were lost and undone in the kingdom of darkness. Full of sin. But we cried out to you and you heard our cry. And Jesus came into our hearts. And we give you thanks that we've been redeemed from the curse. And you translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. And oh, we give you praise and we give you thanksgiving. And tonight we bring a hallowed gift before you, Lord Jesus, our Melchizedek, our high priest. And we thank you and we praise you and we worship you tonight. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, then do it right now, dear Lord. Oh, do it now, do it now, do it now, do it now. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Everybody pray that. Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I repent of sin. I renounce the past. I renounce the devil and everything he stands for. You're my Lord, Jesus. You're my high priest. You're my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Translate me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's light. Right now, I receive it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you spirit of lack, say it. In the name of Jesus, take your hands off my affairs. Spirit of debt, get out of my life. Get out of my church, out of my ministry, out of my business, out of my family, out of here. In the name of Jesus, the devourer is rebuked for my sake. I am a tither. I'm a giver. And I'm a receiver. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now give the Lord a shout and a praise about it. Glory to God. If you need an envelope, hold your hands up. The ushers will give you one right quick there. And ushers, after you pass out the envelopes, well, go ahead and receive the offering and the tithe. Praise God. Now, I'm not talking about the tithe that you normally take to your church. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about tithing an offering. See, this is something we hadn't heard much about. But there's not anything in there that said that the tithe, that an offering couldn't be tithed. We built that fence around it. And we altered it. And it shouldn't have been altered that way. We're tithing an offering tonight. And the devourer is rebuked for our sake. And he that lives is receiving it and worshiping before our Heavenly Father. And say this: I fear not.
I fear not.
I'm not afraid to give.
I'm not afraid to
tithe.
I believe only.
And I shall be made whole.
And free.
From the law of sin and death. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.